Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. James. Many of you are joining us from near and far. We have many of you in the church with us this morning, as well as on Zoom. And we're so grateful that you're joining us for Mass, as many of you do each week. And it's just a pleasure to be here with all of you. Today we're celebrating the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's a beautiful day out there. We encourage all of you to join with us as best you can here in the church with gesture and humming. And of course, if you're at home, please participate in any way that you can and feel like. Be sure to check out our webpage at stjameswabash.org for more information on what's happening here each week. Events coming up, we'll have information about the upcoming season of Lent, all sorts of things eventually coming out to you via the webpage, stjameswabash.org. Please rise and join in singing, and if you're here, join in humming. Sing a new song.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit be with you. And what a blessing that we can gather on this Sunday. Pope Francis has asked us to think of this as the day, the Sunday of the Word of God. And so we want to be particularly attentive today of this Word of God, which speaks to us, which calls us to a greater following of Jesus, a greater love of God. So let's be attentive to that word today as we open our minds and hearts to receive the gift God wishes us to have, the gifts of grace and mercy. I confess
to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy, forgive our sin, bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
To God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good.
Then let us pray that this day will be a day of grace, a day of peace. Let us pray that the call of Jesus will come to us and stir our hearts. And let us pray that that Holy Spirit of God will give us wisdom and fortitude. Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to get through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day, walking, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw their actions and how they turned from evil, he repented of the evil he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord.
Oh, reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Those weeping as not weeping. Those rejoicing as not rejoicing. Those buying as not owning. Those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Be with you. A reading, Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of people." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little further and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he cried to them. So they left their father Zebedee in their boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Did you ever wonder if Zebedee resented Jesus? I mean, if you think about it, the gospel kind of suggests that he had worked very hard building this business up, was pretty successful at it, successful enough to have hired some people to help him. And no doubt the reason for this success was because he had those two strapping boys to do work. And I imagine that he was reaching the point in his life where he was thinking about retiring. Thinking maybe I'll go over there to Nazareth and buy one of those rockers that that great master carpenter Joseph is working on. I'll put it on my porch and I'll watch my boys toiling away. But of course, Jesus came, called his boys away. I wonder if he resented it. Jesus didn't understand how labor-intensive fishing was. He didn't know that it made a big difference how many hands were there doing the work. But like so many sons and so many other circumstances, they didn't want to follow in their father's footsteps. And Jesus was offering them this new possibility, not just being fishermen, but fishing after people. What can an old man in a boat do to compete with that? All of which is an introduction to this thought. For the last 10 months now, right before we receive communion, we say a prayer. The prayer for spiritual communion. And we do so because even those who are not able to participate in the sacrament directly, those who are Zooming, also want to invite Jesus into their hearts. And so we say this prayer to remind us that that is always a possibility. But there's one line in that prayer that every day for the last 10 months has given me pause. Jesus, I love you above all things. That's the line. I love you above all things. Now, it seems that Simon and Andrew and James and John love Jesus above all things, right? They left their home, their job, what they were accustomed to in order to follow Jesus because they loved him above all things. They left the Father in the boat because they loved him. They were willing to launch out into this unknown future because they loved him. Well, if I love Jesus more than my family, my friends, hey, my comforts, shouldn't there be some evidence of it? Shouldn't you be able to tell that I love Jesus above all things? What exactly are we saying when we pray that prayer? To unpack that sentence, I turn to two of my wisdom figures. The first is Abraham Heschel, a rabbi, who once wrote this. He said, God has no importance unless God is of supreme importance. God is of no importance unless God is of supreme importance, that we can't look on God or faith or spirituality as a hobby, as a pastime, as something we work in when we have a little leisure. God has to be important. And actually, in our lives, or my life anyway, most of the time, I'm fretting about other things. I'm worried about what I'm going through, what I'm needing, what I'm feeling, health, finances. You know the drill. But God has to be important, not something that we fit in as we can. And we know what it's like to get the focus off of ourselves. And we know it when we love, right? That's how we get the focus off of ourselves. Think of parents. When parents love their children, they are not so much worried about what they're going through. They're worried about what the child is experiencing. Parents are those who don't attend so much to their needs and their wants, but to the child's, because they love the child. And I think there's something in that experience of love that helps us to put the importance on God that there should be. Because when we realize we're called to actually love God, not to treat God as some kind of cosmic Santa Claus who is there to be wheedled into giving us something, but actually love God, to fall into God's arms, then that shifts the relationship. We find out what's really important because we know that God can take better care of us than we can take care of ourselves. and we look at all things in the light of God when that happens. And with that understanding, then we can examine that prayer, Jesus, I love you above all things, and see that it doesn't mean exactly what we suspected it means at first blush. Because our instinct, having heard this gospel story today, is to imagine that if I'm going to really follow Jesus, I'm going to get out of my proverbial lifeboat, I'm going to join the crusade and go to somewhere exotic. But actually, we are capable of loving God above all things just where we are and just being who we are. This call to follow Jesus is not about doing different things, but of doing things differently. Jesus, for most of us, calls us to follow him in the providence of our everyday life. So all those people that are woven into our lives, we treat differently because we recognize them as children of God. We look on our job or school differently because we realize God has put us there. We look on those 525,600 minutes that we have in a year differently because I know God has given us this precious gift of time. So we find that it's where we are that God wants us to be. And that leads to the second of our wisdom figures, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor who was killed by the Nazis. And Bonhoeffer wrote this. He said, when Jesus calls someone, he calls him to die. He calls us to die. To die to ourselves, to die to our plans, to die to our ideas, to die to our obsessions, to die to our old way of life, to our old way of thinking. And when we are willing to die to those things, we put our hand in the hand of the man who calmed the waters. And once we realize that the world as we know it is passing away, as St. Paul put it in the epistle, once we hear that word to repent and believe in good news that Jesus gave in that first sermon we heard today, once we decide to leave behind our old ways in order to follow Jesus as Simon and Andrew and James and John did, well, then we're on the road to loving Jesus above all things. Because it's then that by the way that we live, that we attract others. We're those fisher persons bringing others to unity and peace. So when Jesus calls us to love him above all things, then we no longer have a job. We have a vocation. We no longer just belong to this family. We belong to God's family. We're no longer trapped on the rough side of the mountain. But we know that in the morning comes joy. We understand that Each one of us is precious in the eyes of God. So, church, this day, we find out what is of supreme importance. And we learn really what we're talking about when we say that prayer. Jesus, I love you above all things. Amen. So, church, let us together profess our faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantially with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is glorified and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As a people of God, we are so blessed to know that God always hears us. With confidence, then, we present our prayers and petitions.
For the church, trusting in Jesus' constant presence, that we may act in love of God and love of our neighbor as we love ourselves, we pray to the Lord. For our nation, that we may repent from the wrongs we have done and turn to the source of life and goodness, we pray to the Lord. For all those who suffer from want, from lack of shelter, heat, adequate nutrition or health care, that they may find sustenance and hope in the generosity of those with plenty, we pray to the Lord. For the women religious who have taken the heart of Jesus' call to follow him, that they may be blessed in the work that they do, we pray to the Lord. For our parish community, that we may always be willing to look into our own hearts and repent, we pray to the Lord. That the life-saving and life-giving ministry of Mercy Hospital, started by the Sisters of Mercy, may continue to be the source of healing and hope in our community, we pray to the Lord. For those who have gone before us in faith, especially Bethel Mukherjee, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord. For the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community, we pray to the Lord.
Hear all these prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples. I want to live in the newness of life. Just Jesus, let me be a follower of Christ. I want to be a fisher now for Christ. I want to bring other souls to Him. I want to help rid this world of its strife. Just let me be a follower of Christ. What do I have to do? What do I have to say? How do I have to walk each and every day? Tell me, what does it cost if I carry the cross? Just let me be a follower of Christ. Just let me be a follower of Christ.
Let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept this sacrifice from our hands for the praise, the glory of God's name. For our good, the good of all the holy church.
Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them, grant that they may profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just that we should give you thanks and praise, O God, Almighty Father, for all you do in the world through Jesus. For though the human race is divided by dissension and discord, we know that by testing us, you change our hearts and prepare us for reconciliation. Even more, by your Spirit, you move human hearts so that enemies may speak to each other again, adversaries join hands, and peoples seek to meet together. By the working of your power, it comes about, O God, that hatred is overcome by love, revenge gives way to forgiveness, and discord is changed to mutual respect. Therefore, as we give you ceaseless thanks with the choirs of heaven, we cry out to your majesty on earth, and without end, we acclaim. Almighty God, we bless through Jesus your Son who comes in your name. He is the Word that brings salvation. He is the hand you extend to sinners. He is the way by which your peace is offered to us. When we had turned away from you on account of our sin, you brought us back to be reconciled, O God, so that, converted at last to you, we might love one another through your Son, whom for our sake you handed over to death. And now, celebrating the reconciliation Christ has brought us, we entreat you, sanctify these gifts by the outpouring of your Spirit, and let them become the body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, whose command we fulfill when we celebrate these mysteries. For when he was about to give his life to set us free, as he reclined at supper, he took bread into his hands and, giving you thanks, said a blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you. Eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you."
In a similar way, on that same evening, he took the chalice of blessing in his hands. Confessing your mercy, he gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Celebrating, therefore, the memorial of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, who left us this pledge of his love, we offer you what you have bestowed on us, the sacrifice of perfect reconciliation. Holy Father, we humbly beseech you, accept us together with your Son, and in the saving banquet, graciously to endow us with his very Spirit, who takes away everything that estranges us from one another. May he make your church a sign of unity, and an instrument of peace among all people. May it keep us in a communion of heart and mind with Pope Francis and Cardinal Blaise. And just as you have gathered us now at the table of your Son, so bring us together with the Virgin Mary, Mother of God, her husband Saint Joseph, the blessed Apostle Saint James, and all our brothers and sisters, those of every race and tongue who have died in your friendship. Bring us to share with them the unending banquet of unity in a new heaven and a new earth, where the fullness of your peace will shine forth in Christ Jesus, who gives us every good gift. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of Jesus be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a wave of peace.
The wave of peace.
Sins of the world.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. The prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Please follow the direction of the ushers coming up to communion. You will have your hands sanitized, then approach the altar, receive communion. Take a step to your right, remove your mask, consume the host, and then follow the arrows back to your seat.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your word.
Blessed.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that receiving the grace by which you bring us to new life, we may always glory in your gift through Christ our Lord. Please go to our website. You'll find there an invitation to our Lenten program, Race and Social Justice. It's an 8-week program where we're going to kind of explore how our faith intersects with this social reality that we're wrestling with as a country. It should be a very intense but very spiritually rewarding as our Lenten practice. Anything else? No? The Lord be with you. God's blessing upon us all. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Go in peace. Do love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Longing for life.